I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's Utopia Talks, Jaguar and KJ Baxter back with a special episode, ticking off a real bucket list, to be honest, as today's guest is quite the national treasure. I think we'd all agree here. She's influenced so many artists. She's soundtracked many a night out. I mean, who hasn't had the best moment of their life on the dance floor, singing at the top of their lungs to Katie on a Mission? And you're lying if you say you haven't. She's had three huge studio albums, top 10 hits, the voice of an angel. So excited to have you, Katie P.
Hey. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for asking me.
Yeah, we are so excited. I have to say, you're not the only Katie B in the studio.
Oh, you're Katie B. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Sick.
So watch out.
Oh, no.
But honestly, like, I'm such a big fan of yours, and I just feel like you're an icon. Like, are you aware of the legacy that you have put on this planet with your music?
Oh, well, that's very kind of you to say so. I don't know if I'd agree with that, but yeah, thank you. I'll take the compliment.
Totally. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
No, definitely. Yeah. I think me and Jaguar were both like really coming of age with your music. So yeah, we love it.
100%. Because I think, I only met you, was it a few weeks ago at Stand and Calling, and I'd had a few tequilas. And I was like, I saw your dressing room.
Oh, me too. Don't worry.
Yeah, you had it. I saw your dressing room was like opposite mine. And I was like, oh my God, KTP's in there. So I like knocked on the door. I was like, hello. And aww. I think I just told you how much I loved you. And I do.
Oh,
I love
you. Thank you so much.
Just so
thank
you know. You. So before we get into anything, I hear you're very passionate about pie and mash.
Oh.
But you weren't expecting
Oh, yeah. Who said that? Me.
I read it on an
You did? Oh, wow. That's so funny. It's true. Actually, yeah, there's like a big picture of me in like The Guardian with a pie or something. Like, that's how like passionate I am about pies and pastry. I guess being from London, like grew up eating pie and mash with my nan and my dad. And I'm always getting into debates with people about like, what's the best pie and mash shop in London? Mm. But
what is it?
In my opinion, I like Armonts on Woolworth Road because that's kind of where, and they're a bit more like generous with their mash compared to other pie and mash shops I won't name. But I had a session with Prosper the other day, mm-hmm. And they were running a little bit behind, but it was great because it was in Bermondsey and I could go and get pie and mash quickly before the session. Yeah, I don't think they really knew about London pie and mash because they're from Leeds.
Yeah,
so I had trying to explain to someone about this green sludgy liquor and how delicious it is. They were like, "All right,"
I can imagine they were a bit like,
I feel like one of them got a Greggs actually, so I feel like that's more of a northern thing.
That is
thing,
such
isn't
a
it?
Northern
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
I bet it was Gosha. Yeah.
What's your go-to pie?
Oh, well, with pie and mash, like, they kind of just do one
pie. Oh, is it
pie.
Just a pie?
Yeah, it's just like beef. Yeah.
Just anonymous meat.
Yeah, it kind of, well, it's beef. And then the liquor's like traditionally made with like the stock from the eels, from the jelly deals.
Oh.
From like back in the day, like the Thames or whatever.
Wait, actually from the Thames?
Not actually from the Thames, but I think it was like what people would eat, like they'd eat the jelly deal. They'd eat the eels from the Thames. Yeah, I think this is, someone could probably be like, this is rubbish, but this is what my subconscious brain, like I've read this somewhere.
Imagine that now.
You can still get like jelly deals though. My friend Susie, big up Susie, she, when I go for pie mashing with her, she actually gets jelly deals. I'm like, that's too far, babes. But
I like seafood, yeah. But I just don't think I could ever eat a jellied eel.
What about like eel sushi is meant to be really amazing.
I think I've had that,
yeah,
actually.
It's meant to be very soft. So I'm guessing it's probably not that different.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, let us know if you're feeling brave.
Yeah.
Wait, mash. Oh yeah. Before we start.
Okay.
Because that was the first big question.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we've got through that. I've actually got a proposition. So if you like pie and mash, okay, right, I have a really good festival food idea. Because, you know, festivals is like a mecca for street food, so many different varieties. What about simply mash? Different flavours.
Just mash.
Cheesy mash, mash and beans, mash and gravy, mash and sausage, mash and sweet potato mash, Swede mash.
You don't have to chew it.
Salty mash. Yeah. Because when I'm drunk, I just want a big pile of like potato.
I guess we eat chips, don't we? Yeah. The same. You could just get a plate of chips, get a plate of mash.
Yeah. You know, if you like mash, you should go into a pie mash shop and get some mash. Mm. You should just go in there because I used to do that. I used to do that when in Lewisham when I used to work at JD Sports. And I would just want mashed potato and I'd go into something fishy, which sells, that's not, they sell like fish and chips in there as well, to be fair. But they actually do a decent pie mash in there. But you can buy mash for 60p. So if you're ever in, well, not anymore. That was when I was like 16. So it's probably with inflation, it's gone up now.
£6.
If you do ever wander past something fishy in Lewisham, get some mash, babes.
There you go. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
This is not how I thought this podcast was going to start.
Full of surprises today. But yeah, how have you found this summer as we come to the end of, recording this in end of August? How's it been for you?
Well, the summer?
Yeah.
It's been amazing. It's been really fun. It's just been great to kind of be back out performing. Actually, to be fair, since the pandemic, I suppose, I have had a couple of summers. But it's been quite busy this summer, really. So it's been really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like this, like August is a time of year, because I feel like it feels a bit more, even though I'm tired, we're all tired, because it's the end of summer, it does feel like kind of like a bittersweet time, because the light gets a bit softer, you're aware that the leaves are going to start turning brown, and like the sort of last few festivals. I don't know, there's something quite like nice about it, you know.
Oh yeah, August. I mean, out of all the months of the year, yeah, definitely, it's amazing. Yeah. And we've actually got a little bit of sunshine at the moment as well. So
finally,
yeah.
Mm. Okay, so in an interview you did in 2016, you said I'll still be raving at 55. Is this? Do you still reckon so? First of all,
I think so. I went to, where did I go? I went to a drum and bass thing in the, was it Silver Docks or something? Do you know that venue? It's like this big, is it Silver Docks? It's not a venue, but it's big outdoor. I feel like they just had a Solid Grooves there, and they just had, I think it's Worried About Henry, the rave. Oh. And I went there and, you know, it was just amazing. And what I love about the drum and bass crowd and the jungle
road,
crowd.
Is it?
Maybe.
Was it The Cause? No.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. But it's in the Docklands somewhere. Yeah. Maybe that's where it
I think, yeah, 60 Dock. Yeah.
I think it is as well.
Yeah. And it was just like, the drum and bass jungle crowd, like I think Brocky and Det were on, and everyone at the front of the crowd was just like, yeah, they looked about, I don't know, maybe not 55, but like definitely everyone was above 40, and they were they had more energy than most of the ravers that I've seen this year. Do you know what I mean? And I was just like, amazing. That's what I do love about drum and bass ravers the most. It's like they've got this kind of like, I don't know, it's just like mosh pit energy. Like, I love it. So, you never know. Hopefully.
I'll still
be there.
Yeah. I mean, what is a night out with KTB like?
Oh, a night out with KTB. The thing is, sometimes usually I'm working. So I'm trying to think of the last time I went on, like, strictly just a night out.
Was it a festival or...
You're starting off.
Oh, I just went to We. You're starting. You know, yeah, that's very important. You've got to line your stomach.
Fuel yourself.
Yeah,
it's not a bad
definitely. I just went up to We Out Here Festival, actually, as a punter.
Oh, nice.
Like, for the first time, I feel like I've camped at festivals before, but I've always been, like, playing at them or, you know, and I've been to festivals as a punter, but, like, Outlook Festival or something with an apartment or, you know. And so, yeah, that was amazing. I went from Thursday to Monday and I was, like, perfect. And that is my perfect kind of... night, not night out, but I suppose festival, I guess, where there's like bands in the day and then like dance music, electronic music at night, because you need to be able to like chill, relax, kind of let your ears kind of calm down a little bit and then, yeah, go. Because I've been to like electronic festivals before where it's just like days and days of electronic music and I'm like, as much as I love it, I love clubbing, I love raving, love dancing, but that's just too much.
You want a little bit.
Yeah.
Something else.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're saying that, who's literally like,
yeah,
come up through club culture, like the, you know, represents so many different underground dance genres.
Yeah.
Then I agree.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't want to hear a kick drum. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 100%.
Houghton's 24 hours, isn't it?
There's actually?
I think so. Yeah.
Doesn't stop.
There's dance music. They start on the Thursday and it goes on
I know.
The whole time.
Still on now. People still there.
Yeah.
One of my friends, he's helped set it up. So I was like watching his Instagram. I think he was there for like probably a week before and like afterwards as well. So yeah, he's probably still there now.
Yeah. People just don't come back.
Yeah.
So we obviously mentioned club culture. I mean, it's been 13 years since your debut album, On a Mission, which is behind so many iconic tracks, Katie on a Mission, Lights Out, Perfect Stranger, Broken Record, that whole era just is, I think, well, for I guess for me and you, KJ Baxter, I was at uni, I think, or like sort of started going out raving and it was like a real soundtrack to that point in our lives. And like so many amazing producers worked on that with you, Benga, Zinc, Scream, Artwork. I'd love to go back to that time. Let's go back to 2010.
Let's go.
And I feel like, because it was 13 years ago, it's kind of, it's really interesting just how things come back around and how nostalgia and that kind of like noughties vibe is kind of like coming back around in lots of different things anyway. But yeah, take us to 2010. How was it?
Yeah, so On a Mission kind of came out just as I'd finished uni, which was great for me, I guess, for me to have that as just as I come out of university. But I remember being quite stressed out because I'd just like done, I guess, was completing my degree. And then like that coming, like it was finishing my album at the same time. So it was very, very, I think I was very stressed. So I was definitely excited to like not go to any more lectures 100%. Because I feel like the first year of uni is quite like, oh, this is fine. This is great. Like it's probably almost easier than your last bit of A-levels sort of thing, that stress and fullness. And then second year is like, okay, this is getting harder. And then year three, you're like, oh my gosh, this is really actually hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it was a joy working on the album, definitely. I used to go every Wednesday after like university from New Cross. I used to get the overground to, it only went to Whitechapel then. That's how old it,
that is,
before the East London line extended. And then I'd go, yeah, Zinc would kindly let me use his studio to make this album. Yeah, so, and at the time it kind of started as Genius, who's my manager and runs Rinse FM. He wanted to kind of put together this album where he got all the producers from Rinse and wanted to showcase the like production talent that was on the station, but he wanted like an artist to kind of sing across all of the music and it to be like original music basically. And he asked me if I wanted to do that because we were working together at the time making UK funky tracks. And I was like, yeah, that sounds amazing, you know, because at the time I was going out quite a lot and raving and all these people that I was going to be able to collaborate with. I was just like, that's, yeah, an amazing opportunity. And then over time, it just slowly turned into my project rather than it being like a Rinse album.
Yeah. So, yeah. And at the time you were at uni, I'm guessing you studied music.
Yeah, popular music. So Goldsmith has a classical course, as far as I know, but at the time they had a classical course and then I did the popular music course. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Is it true you wrote an essay about UK funky?
Yes, I did, I think.
I'd love to read it.
I think we had to choose a genre. Maybe I've still got it somewhere. I don't know.
You should put, honestly, I feel like that would go off. People would love that.
I think it was to do with like a genre and how it kind of like evolved or, yeah. And so, yeah, that's a great thing, I guess.
What kind of raves were you going to around that time, like as a student? What sort of music was on?
Well, the thing is, I guess as a student, because I was going to Goldsmiths, which was literally like a 10-minute walk from my house. Like, I don't even think I even went to the open day. I was like, yeah, I'll just go there. Like, and so I didn't really get that kind of university experience at Goldsmiths, if that made any sense, in terms of like, I didn't have my uni experience in London, but I would go and like visit my friends. A lot of my friends were in Bristol. We're in like York and all these other Bournemouth, Brighton. So I'd get like a coach and go and visit my mates there. And yeah, we'd go to like, yeah, dubstep raves, drum and bass raves, like lots of different raves. Yeah, UK funky was kind of big at the time as well. But yeah, I guess at the time I kind of, and also my friends would come to London to get the London Raven experience as well. Like one of my friends, Isabel, she would come to London to get her hair done. So she'd schedule it around raves. Yes. Like, yeah. So she'd be like, okay, there's this rave, there's this rave, there's this rave. So lots of, yeah, there was a sick night called Persona, UK Funky Rave in Brixton. And that we always used to go to that. And then, yeah, there was just loads of different sick. And yeah, obviously Forward was at its kind of peak then.
I wish I could have gone to those events because they just...
Yellow as well. Amazing. They're going to bring back Yellow at Ministry of Sound.
What was
which
Yellow?
Which is Tipper's Dance. It was more of like a... It's like house and like soulful house kind of, I guess, kind of rave, and that used to be in Camberwell, but I was always like too young to kind of go because it was like over 21s. It might even be like over 27s now, but I used to always like, I always used to look really young. I'd be like, just let me in, like
did they let you in?
Yeah, they did let me in the end. And then over the years, obviously, yeah, Tipper is like one of my really good friends now, and he was he used to be my hype man. I'm excited that they're doing a big Yellow soon. I think it's in October.
Oh my god, yeah. Definitely want to check that out. One more question related to Goldsmith. James Blake, was he in your class?
He was in my class, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's mad.
That is mad.
I always remember him as being like very studious and amazing, obviously, at playing piano. And yeah, he's just, yeah, very, very studious.
Yeah. Have you guys ever made a tune together or like gone in the studio?
No, we did do a university project or something. No, I can't remember what it was, like on 12 bar blues or something like that. Like we had to do that. So yeah, that was the only time we worked together. Yeah.
Wow.
But I would obviously, that would be incredible. But yeah.
You never know. That's such a mad fact. 2010, obviously lots going on, uni, working on these tunes, releasing the album, and then it did go on to become this huge success. And it was nominated for a Mercury Prize at the time. And I feel like you couldn't really escape it. And I don't know, how did you ever expect it to be the huge success it was?
No. So, you know, like I said, like I'd be like borrowing, you know, studio time, I guess, to make this project. And I kind of thought it was going to be this little like mixtape. I was so excited for me to make a project, you know. It's a shame that we kind of don't have albums in the same way maybe these days, but to kind of put something out like that where you can be like, this is me, this is who I am, like as an artist, yeah, with over 10 tracks, you know, was just, I was so excited about that, definitely. But yeah, so when it kind of started kind of snowballing, is that the right word? I was, yeah, it was, yeah, there was it ended up kind of getting signed to a major label. Whereas before we were like, does anyone want to sign this song? Does anyone want to do this? And everyone was like, no, 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 no. And
really?
Then it kind of, it went to number five in the charts independently. Like, and then everyone was like, okay, yeah, we want to sign this. So yeah, it was sick. And then obviously it being nominated by Mercury was incredible. And yeah, it's just amazing time, really.
Do you think the success was because it was like embraced by the underground and it kind of came up through the dance scene and it went that way? Or
I feel like it was amazing because I feel like everyone was supporting it. Like I remember everyone kind of like giving it that nudge up because and just being like, at the time when it kind of came out, being like, can anyone help us like send this out to their mailers or to do this or to do that? And everyone was like, yeah, of course, we'll help you. So I'm really grateful to everyone that kind of like gave it that push, you know. That was amazing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because so many like people I know will cite you as an influence on them. And like, I know you might be like, oh, I don't know. But honestly, and I think of now it's really interesting because there's a whole new generation of kind of singers, like female singers in dance music. A lot of them are DJing as well. Like kind of an example would be someone like Baklava, who's kind of amazing UKG DJ producer, but then she's also got this amazing voice and she sings. Perry, Camden Cox, there's kind of loads. And I do feel like you kind of paved the way for a lot of people who would say
well, thank you. That's amazing that you say that. Because I guess all the female singers that I looked up to were like Shola Amma, Kelly LaRock, Jenna G.
Oh, yeah.
All the singers on that were making UK funky at the time. So yeah, for me to kind of be part of that kind of world and be able to feel like my music has influenced someone else to make music or be in the the club culture world, like, that's an amazing feeling for me because, yeah, the feeling that those singers kind of gave me and inspired me is a great feeling as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's something we love to see is, like, women doing stuff in dance music.
Definitely.
And at the time, like, did you, because I gave you a copy of the Jaguar Foundation report earlier with some of our findings from the research we've done. And, yeah, the general theme is like, there is a disparity in gender, but it is getting better. And I guess like going back like a decade or so, like, did you, I don't know, how did it feel for you back then being, were you often like the only woman in the room? Or obviously there were good guys around you, obviously like your management and producers and stuff, but.
Do you know what? I think it was probably a little bit easier for me, probably like in terms of like me, like being a female singer in that kind of space. I suppose I had it a little bit easier than, let's say, a female DJ or a female producer or female engineer. So, you know, I probably didn't have it as bad as them, if that makes any sense. Yeah, I guess, and I always kind of like had a female manager at the time who was running Forward, and that was her baby, that was her creation, you know. So I had all these amazing and Miss Dynamite at the time was such a, you know, just like a sick person to have around me, you know, like, and just kind of be like such a strong person and just, yeah, a sick person to just have around me. So I think I had all these amazing females around me that, like, they were just powerhouses. Do you know what I mean? So but yeah, so I was lucky to kind of have that. Yeah. Men didn't really have a chance.
how yeah. Did the Miss Dynamite collab on Lights Out come about? Because that is a tune.
Yeah, so we had the same manager at the time, and she went into the studio to work with Zinc and Genius on some songs. So that was around that same area where Wild Out came out. And what was the Genius one again? I know it's that's going to really bug me now.
Wait.
Sit down and sip on it when it's on it. Anyway, that era, and then they were like, oh, I was finding it really hard at the time to find verses for Lights On. And because actually the verses that were on Lights On were on a mission or something like that. It's really weird. There was something, either I took the light verses off of Lights On and put them on a mission, or I put the verses from On a Mission on Lights On or something like that. It's managed to work out. Anyway, so I didn't have any verses for Lights On. And then I went into the studio one day and then they were like, oh yeah, we've got Miss Dynamite to kind of try and put some verses on or whatever. And I was like, what? Like, whoa. You can't just drop it to me like that. Like, Miss Dynamite's just in here singing on one of my songs. Like, what the hell? So yeah, that was the most amazing feeling ever, definitely. And then, yeah, it was sick. Yeah. We did a video, went to Carnival and performed it at Rampage. I remember climbing up this massive ladder, performing it for the first time. Like, yeah, and it was just, yeah, it was an amazing, amazing time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I love that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
What have been some of your other like favorite collabs that you've done? Because you've worked with a lot of people over the years.
I suppose it's always nice when you can work in the studio with someone. Mm. But then again, I am someone who kind of likes to be, when I write, like it's actually quite nice to kind of be on my own. And, you know, because sometimes people just like will send you a track, like a fully finished track, and then I'll kind of write on that. But yeah, I remember with Fortet, bless him, he sent me the tune and did all the work on it, but he was like, no, I'd really, really like to meet you. So I like went to his house and like had a cup of tea with him, and I was like, oh great, that's so really nice. Yeah. It was so, made me feel like, so
makes it more personal.
Yeah, because I guess you sometimes, yeah, you're literally writing to a song and then you've never even met the person. I remember one time seeing a producer that I worked with in Sainsbury's and being like, trying to catch his eye, like at the tills, be like, hi. And then it was like, he wasn't like looking at me and I could tell he's trying to avoid me. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh no.
Sometimes it could be like that. Do you know what I mean? It was a great song, but I'm like, I don't think he wanted to stop and chat. So I think he's just a bit shy.
Oh, babe.
But yes.
Well, I haven't met Fortet. I'd love to. What was he like when you had a cup of tea?
Oh, he's an angel.
I've heard great things.
I'd love to work with him again, definitely.
What tune did you do together?
So it was on my Honey project it's called Calm Down. Then that song's actually about...
Yes, yeah, another one.
That's about like trying to calm down and not rave anymore. And then it was just saying like, when will we calm down? When will we calm down? Because I think me and my friends were like, I think I was in Birmingham at the time, at a festival, and I was just like on the dance floor. And I think sometimes when I write songs and I'll be on the dance floor and I like put little voice notes in my phone, and then usually like 99% of the time I'll wake up in the morning and be like, oh my God, what the hell is that?
Like, or slurring your words.
Yeah, or like, I'll never like listen to it ever again. But this one time I was like, oh, like I need an idea for this beat, and I thought that was quite funny.
That's cool that you take your inspiration from like being on the dance floor and stuff. That's...
Yeah. And also sometimes my friends are like, oh, they'll give me little lyrics and stuff like that. But as I said, afterwards, we'll be like, go into the phone. It'll be like, it'll just be like the most silliest thing. We'll be like, oh, God. Like, I don't think that one's going to go number one, guys.
I love that. But the Honey album, because I remember this was just like so many collabs, like Major Lazer, Wilkinson, Chris Lorenzo, Floating Points, yeah, Forte on Calm Down, KDA, Hannah Wants.
Yeah.
It was just like you just being like,
oh, yeah.
Were you just reaching out to people you were a fan of and being like, hey,
I think because I'd just like written to all these different kind of like, it's mad because I suppose like, that beginning album of how what I was saying about the rinse and getting all of the different producers in, I guess it's kind of been the blueprint of all how yeah. I write, make music, and I'm that's kind of still how I make music now and how I enjoy it. I think one day it would be good to kind of probably work with one producer yeah. and create one kind of, you know, have some kind of continuity sonically, but I don't know. I've got so many different kind of, you know, I don't just listen to one kind of genre yeah. of music, especially, yeah, with that's just in club music, you know, so yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to kind of express that as well.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe that's fine.
I think it's yeah. great. And I actually, my favorite album of yours is actually Little Red, your second album.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think, I don't know, I just, when it came out, I think that was when I was like, yeah, second yeah. year of uni, and I just loved all the different styles of production on that. I was actually listening to it today, walking around, getting in the mood for the interview.
I love Little Red as well. Yeah. I love Little Red. Yeah, definitely, 100%, yeah.
Yeah, I Like You. That was with George Fitzgerald, right, on the production.
That was, yeah, he did I Like You on there. I've got yeah. a song called I Like You on that. And then, again, every single, I've got like a song with Sampha who produced on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you've got Rue 94. The list. You know, Jesse Ware on Aaliyah as well.
Artworks got a song on there, I think, as well. Yeah. Yeah, Jesse Ware.
Yeah, because you've worked with Artwork quite a lot, right?
Yeah,
Magnetic Man.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So yeah,
babes, so, yeah. you've got bangers. Like, and then of course you had your EP from a couple of years ago, Peace and Offerings, which was not dance music.
Yeah, not
strictly.
There was kind of like elements yeah. In there, but yeah, I guess because it was kind of after lockdown, and I just kind of. Yeah, I guess we hadn't really been able to dance too much. So kind of put some songs together that were a bit more reflective of that time of how I was feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess like showcasing your like different musical inspirations and interests as well. So my question is, what are you working on now? And is there going to be a new KTV album?
I hope so. Yeah, that is what I'm working on. It's so funny though, isn't it? Because it's like music and how we release it is just changing all the time. And so part of me is like, you know, I'm making, you know, more like jungle, drum and bass or breaks influence music on this side. I'm like, should I put that out as an EP or should I, you know, the more house stuff or funky stuff, like should I put that out as a little EP or should I merge everything together or should I, you know, or what would a live show look like that, like with that or what would this or do I need a band? Like these are all the thoughts that go around my head every minute on a daily basis.
Oh my God. I'm stressed for you.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think I'm still kind of, at the moment I'm just creating, I'm just writing. And after this, I'm going to try and finish some songs because, you know, writing is something that everyone can do every day, but actually, you know, finishing something that you're happy enough to like put out into the world is something else. So I think I've been having a few meetings recently and I'm like, let's get some deadlines in, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm planning to go to Portugal, I think, in September for a few weeks. And I'm just going to write. And then when I'm back, I'm like, guys, that's it. Let's go. Let's put some stuff together. So I think next year, we keep having a date in a venue that keeps kind of getting pushed back. But I'm like, really need to kind of...
What, for yeah. a big show? A big
headline? Yeah, a big show. Yeah. So... And putting shows together as well, that's like such an amazing, like a live show with like a band. I've had dancers in the past as well. Like, you know, it's such an amazing experience, you know, to put that kind of production together and just the way that everything has to be done to a certain time and, you know, everything has to kind of be I don't know. It's just it's an interesting experience, and it's such a different process. It's so interesting finishing a project like an album or something, and then taking it into that space as well. Like, it just feels like a whole other thing, and it's as being in the studio, you know, or whatever. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. Yeah.
Do you always have that in mind when you're writing? Like, how's this going to sound when I do it live?
Not really. No. Sometimes maybe, but or do I? No, I don't really. I think writing for me is like very, maybe in a club though. I will always think about how, like, this, will this go off in a club? Will this be able to, like, how would this feel dancing to this? Like, I think I do write with that in mind. But yeah, with like the live show, sometimes that is what the challenge is. It's like converting something that is made for a club into something live. So for instance, having, I was just saying before earlier, like having like a live drum on like a dubstep song, like how do we make that, or like a live bass, like how do we make it still authentic to what the song is, but kind of heighten it and make it into like a better experience, not a better experience, but a different experience. Yeah. Yeah.
So with this new music in mind, are we still thinking dance club orientated stuff or...
Yeah, I think so.
Or a mixture?
I think so. You know, and in the past, I have been thinking like, oh, maybe I could do something. Maybe I could do something on the side that might be slower music, or but we'll bring it in. Again, these are all thoughts that just constantly go around my brain.
Is there like a lot of music that kind of is kind of all different and you're figuring out
what, yeah, how to kind of streamline it, I suppose. But it's been great with Little Red, you know. I've been able, that's, you know, some of the tunes on there are very electronic and very quite like club based or, you know, pure club music. But then I've had stuff like, yeah, Crime for No Reason or Still, or Still, those songs that are like pretty much ballads really. So yeah, there will always be like one or two sort of like slower, slower little numbers on there, you know.
I love to hear a KTV ballad. They're like some of my favourites.
Yeah,
thanks.
I think it's nice on an album as well to have those little like changes in energy and like,
and especially in a show as well.
Yeah,
to kind of take it to those points. Yeah. Mm.
So the stuff you have released, like you've done all this signed to Rents, but then those first two albums, three albums particularly, they kind of, it was Rents but kind of licensed by a major label. Is that how
yes.
this happened?
Yeah.
But now you're going to be releasing independently with Rents.
With Rents, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd just be interested to hear how it was operating kind of with a major label versus, I guess, now more from an independent perspective.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I love about not kind of being signed to a major label is just like the kind of red tape that you kind of had. Like now, if I, you know, want to release a song tomorrow, and or someone says, can I have you for this chorus on this song or do that? You can just be like, yeah, done, whatever. Like there might be, there's obviously going to be a little bit of paperwork and a bit of negotiation in terms of, you know, sorting things out in behind the scenes, but generally you can pretty much release it instantly. But there's just like much bigger teams at a major label. There's so much, you know, there's a lot of strategy, and it's like, I guess if you just kind of want to do what you feel in that moment, you know, it's a lot more freedom. That's what I kind of like about it, I suppose. Yeah.
Did you ever feel pressure from, again, like having loads of people involved, or pressure to like recoup the major label?
100%. Like, you know, when you go into those buildings and they're like, here's Sarah from supermarkets, and you're like, okay, and it's like her job is like literally or to put CDs in super, like your team has got like so much bigger, you know, and yeah, that can be quite, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, I'd love to sell shift some albums in Sainsbury's. Great. Yeah, it is quite overwhelming. And I think I did definitely feel that pressure. And after a while, I was a bit like, you know, I started off, you know, doing this as I said, like after uni. And, you know, I've always, you know, I did music at uni and at college, and it's always what I've always wanted to do. But I don't know whether I kind of wanted that kind of thing of like, you need to get a top 10, you need to get this, you know, that kind of, whereas some, yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. And, you know, well, in a way, but I am quite an ambitious person, and I did enjoy doing that at the time. I was like, yeah, I want to... Well, the first album, because I never kind of wrote the album with that intention in any way. And the second album, you know, even though we did have A&Rs, there were A&Rs at the major labels, I didn't really know them that well. I didn't have personal relationship with them. It was always like we kind of just did what we wanted and then sort of handed it over sort of thing. So I'm quite lucky in that sense. But I think after a while, I was just a bit like, I just kind of want to go back to kind of writing music and collaborating with people that they might not necessarily think is lucrative or whatever. But for me, I find interesting. Mm. Yeah.
But it feels like listening to it, feels like you were still able to keep your authentic sound. And like when you look back at the albums you have released, do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do feel that way, definitely. And I'm very proud of them. And yeah, I think I've kind of always had a sense of what I like. You know, I've always trusted myself in terms of like, I find it quite easy to write music on my own because I can always, like in terms of writing lyrics and melodies and things like that, because I feel more shy in like when I'm writing songs. Like I feel more like I know I can trust myself and be like, oh, that's a sick idea. But if some other people that I write with, they feel more comfortable having a soundboard and being like, oh, whereas I feel less comfortable doing that, like, oh, do you like this, do you think this is good, and getting that back, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah
that makes sense. Yeah,
that does. So I've always kind of had a strong sense of what I like and what I don't like, I suppose. Yeah.
Would you say you're a shy person?
I can be very shy. Definitely I can be very shy, but when I'm with my friends and people that I trust and love, then I'm 100% not.
I feel like when you're with your gals on a night out.
100%, yeah.
Katie from the club is here.
Yeah. I suppose with everyone, we've all got different sides. We've all got, contradictions and different sides of us, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like a mixture of introvert and extrovert because I feel like deep down, I'm really shy, but then I've learnt the way, probably through things like the job I do and like the lifestyle, to be extroverted. I don't know.
That's good. I'm proud of you for that.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. What are you?
Oh God. I don't know. I think I'm. Oh, I don't know.
Are you? That was the extrovert coming out. Tell me.
I feel like, welcome to my therapy session now. Yeah.
So I guess talking about like going back to the start of your career and where you are at now, like you were literally like your early 20s when this was all kicking off, and now you're in your 30s and life has changed. We've been through a whole pandemic. You've had 3 albums. How do you think you've changed and your outlook on everything you're doing has changed?
I've now become more comfortable in like saying no to things, probably. In the beginning of my career, I suppose, like, there's like music and then there's like the music industry and the way everything kind of works and what's PRS or what's PPL or what's a point or what's, I didn't know any of this stuff, and that's, no disrespect to my colleges, and they did have music business modules that I probably didn't pay very much attention in, probably just chatted the whole way through. So it's like you kind of like, you're like, okay, yeah, you don't know how things work, so you're more kind of open and want to learn and etc. Whereas now I've been around the block a bit, I know when to say like, nah, that's not for me. Or I'm getting tired as well. You know what I mean? I've only got so much more energy. When you're younger, you have so much energy. And now I'm like, no, that's just going to tire me out. You know, I definitely in the beginning did a lot of touring and a lot of gigs and a lot of festivals, because it's like my music is built for that kind of environment. So I've always been very blessed that like, I was always like getting good bookings and stuff, but And now I'm like, actually, my voice won't hold up, or I'll be too tired, or, you know, and yeah, I'm just, I think I'm taking better care of myself. I think.
Yeah,
I'm trying to.
Yeah, aren't we all? I was going to ask, like, looking after yourself when you are doing show after show and traveling and then trying to make music, how have you managed to do that?
I think just being kinder to myself. I see myself as a musician and I feel like I deserve to be here. I deserve this to be my job, you know. And whereas before I'd be like, oh, I think imposter syndrome is a massive thing. And I think I've just got better at just kind of just being like, okay, just calm down. It's okay. You're all right. It's fine. That's definitely one of the ways I kind of try to look after myself. And also keeping fit, going to the gym, because bouncing around and jumping around on stage, definitely, if I'm not trying to keep fit, then that is that's probably a big one. But then when I'm not needed to jump around on the stage, chill out, like, do you know what I mean? You know, whereas like before, earlier in my career, I did put a lot of pressure on myself, you know, especially with like body image and things like that. You know, I cared a lot about things like that because I just felt like you're thrust into kind of photo shoots and video shoots and, you know, stylists telling you you have to wear a certain height of shoe because your legs are too short or your this is, you know, and all of that stuff really did affect me quite a lot. Whereas like now I don't care. I'm wearing my trainers. So, you know,
trainers always.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that is what you said there is like, you know, quite hard hitting. I think being young and no one can prepare you for suddenly being in the spotlight and it can only happen like, for the first time once, if you know what I mean. Like you're experiencing that and no one can be like, oh, it's going to be like this.
Yeah.
What support did you have around you like when you were going through all this?
To be honest, I guess because I came from an electronic world or a club world or that kind of, that world, that I didn't have that support from like the pop world, if that makes any sense. I didn't have that person or like... You know, as I said, it was nice to meet Miss Dynamite, but she wasn't like around me all the time. And my manager, who was female at the time, she was amazing in that world, in the electronic world. But in terms of like someone who had, I just didn't have anyone to talk to in that sense. So it was really hard because I had to kind of navigate it myself. Mm-hmm. Like, and... Yeah, it was hard at the time, definitely, because I kind of felt like probably I didn't really fit in a lot of the time.
In what way? With pop or with
dance? Like sometimes I used to look at my kind of contemporaries in that kind of pop world and I used to think like, well, how are you finding this so easy? Like, you know, and I didn't find it easy. I don't know, like in front of the camera or like, I hate having my picture taken. Not because I'm like insecure about how I look particularly. I just find it a bit boring as well. You know, well, maybe a little bit of that, but as everyone kind of maybe does, but I just found it, yeah, quite tedious. And I don't know. There was a lot of things that I was just like, oh, this, yeah.
Thanks for like being honest about that because it's, you know, you're doing this because you love making music.
Yeah.
Not because you want to make content and videos and photos.
Yeah. Not even, at the time, it wasn't even content or, and I've got nothing against, I love photo shoots now, like, in a creative way, because I've found my teams and people around me. But I just think, at the time, I just don't think I was having a great time. I found it very intense and, you know, the schedules are like ridiculous, you know, and I wanted my schedule to be ridiculous. I wanted to work hard, you know, but I just found it quite difficult. Yeah. Mm. Navigating my way through it.
Is there any advice you would give to that younger Katie or to artists coming up going through that for the first time?
It's, do you know what, it's actually interesting sometimes meeting, because sometimes I do songwriting sessions with up and coming especially female artists, and I think, oh my god, you're just so much more like switched on and clued up, and like I just think maybe I was quite like naive, like early on, or a bit more shy and a bit more quiet. I'm really impressed, you know, by the younger generation who are coming up. I'm inspired by them and how their kind of awareness around everything, you know, it's that's really inspiring.
Are there any in particular that you've enjoyed working with or you're a fan of?
I love the like female drum and bass singers at the moment. Like I love Catching Cairo and Charlotte Plank and Brody and Venby and
Did you do something with Near Archives?
Oh yeah, Near Archives, yeah, definitely. We wrote a song together.
Yeah.
Which I listen to all the time on my phone. I don't know what will happen with that.
World needs to hear that. I really hope that gets released.
I really wanted her to sing on it, but she, I don't know. I don't know why she didn't sing on it at the time, but she was producing it. But hopefully I can convince
her. I would love to go through your phone, hear the Near Archives track, hear all of your mates screaming in the club, shouting into your phone, lyric ideas.
Yeah.
I love Natanya. Natanya, do you know Natanya Papula?
No,
oh my God, her voice is just beautiful. She's part of like, I think she's part of, you know, the Brighter Days collective with Izko.
Oh, yes.
And like Rico and...
I love the Izko remix of the tune.
When that got sent to me, I was just like, oh my God, this is so sick.
It's so good.
Definitely, I've been working with him as well. And who else do I love? George Riley as well.
Oh yeah,
I love George Riley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Worked with Anne's.
Yes, her voice is amazing.
Who else do I love? Oh my God, my light songs are really, really random. It's like Rain Noise and like.
Apparently, Rain Noise is like the most streamed.
Oh, that is definitely advice for younger generation. Look after your ears because I have tinnitus now.
Do you?
Yeah, but I don't actually think it's from the club. I mean, that probably hasn't helped, but I think it was from being in a studio, just doing take after take after take after take. Like when I think about it, being like the booth for like hours, do you know what I mean? And again, that's probably because I didn't have like an older singer being like, oh, you don't do that because like your ears can only take so much, or yeah, that kind of thing. But definitely get some earplugs, get some molds made, and look after your ears definitely, because you only get one pair, and it's actually not. No, it is annoying because now I have to watch TV and just hear ringing noise. And my mum's like, can you turn that down? And I'm like, oh God, okay, yeah.
So is it like in both ears, is it loud? Is it always there?
I can't hear it now because it's like the way it works is that it's not like a real sound, if that makes any sense. So, you know, like if you lose an arm, you have like a thing called phantom pain where you still feel the pain in your arm, like even though you've lost your arm. So with tinnitus, it's like you're hearing the frequency that you've damaged or something like this. I don't want to hopefully, this is what a tinnitus specialist, this is what I can remember from what they've told me. So if I'm not, don't take this as fact, but that's what they're hearing. So it's not actually a real sound. So if you know, like if you hear a fridge or something and it suddenly turns off, like you haven't heard that because your brain is not concentrating on that. So us having this conversation right now, etc., like I can't hear it, or if there are other sounds going on, I can't hear it. But if I'm like at night, if I'm in a quiet place,
Do you sleep with rain noises?
Yeah, I have to sleep with like rain noise or like white noise or something. But to be fair, I put it on and I drop off straight away.
Okay.
But it's still not nice, guys. You know,
Protect
your ears. Yeah. Do that because that's quite scary. It's scary. Yeah, but it's actually all right. I went for a hearing test and my hearing's fine.
Okay.
Just got a bit of tinnitus. So, yeah.
Good to know. We're coming towards the end.
Aww.
Which is, I know. We ask everyone this final question.
Okay.
And that is what your utopia is.
Ooh, what's my utopia? Oh, do you know what? My utopia... You were saying earlier, maybe it could be like a world of dogs or something like that. But it just made me think of my dogs. Like, I say at my mum's house because actually both the dogs. I have a dog, but my mum looks after it quite a lot of the time.
Nice. I would do that.
So last night I went for a meal with my friends, and then I was just like, I'm just going to go and cuddle my dogs, guys. I'm just going to go to my mum's and I'll just go there. Especially like when I got back from We Out Here Festival, I was like, I'll just go straight to my mum's to cuddle my dogs. And that's it. That's all I need. Yeah. Terrence and Tina.
Aww. Terrence. What kind of dogs are we talking about here?
Well, Tina is a rescue from Romania. So she's just kind of like a fluffy grey dog, medium-sized dog. And then Terrence he's actually a Chihuahua and a Staff mix.
What?
Sounds crazy, but he's probably like a Jack Russell kind of size. And they're like completely opposite. Like Terrence is very confident and just like running after squirrels, and Tina's very and very energetic, and Tina's like really lazy. Won't go outside. If she'll look out the window and be like, if it's raining, no. She doesn't like walking on like any kind of like mud or anything. She doesn't want to get her fur wet, no. But then if she goes into the park, she'll just walk up to a bench and let anyone stroke her.
Aww.
She's friendly, like everyone loves her in Nunhead, where my mum lives. They're all, like, she's like a celebrity. Yeah, Tina. Where's Tina? Like, yeah, they love her.
Terrence, Tina, pie, some mash.
There you go.
That's
a day out with Katie V right there.
I feel like we've covered it all.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been amazing. Thank you.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.